I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coach, my life has changed, man. I'm thinking different now. I gotta move different now. It's crazy.
Yo, I'm only fucking with positivity from now on. I only fuck with positive, no negativity. The coach, my new coach, love you, bro. Appreciate you. Thank you for having us on your show.
We're gonna change your Instagram bio to the second most positive person on the internet.
The second.
Let's go.
What does that mean to you?
Your podcast, The Coach HP Show. I love it. Coach HP.
What a vibe. You got a great vibe going on. We're happy we can meet you.
Great energy. Welcome
back. No, this is what you do. Ready? Here we go. Ready? We're going to start this. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Boom. Welcome back, guys. Money buys happiness. Miami buys happiness.
You've been watching.
When did you switch it up? When did you add the Miami part?
As soon as we got here, bro.
As soon as we touched down, bro.
Because like we literally walked out of the airport. Energy is just different, bro. It just hits different here. So we walked in and just like, all right.
Those doors open.
Yeah.
And it just, the fresh air hits you and you're like, wow. Yeah. I'm somewhere nice.
Dude, right now. One of the things that I was talking to Anthony about is this that we're going to do here, for me, is my favorite type of episode because it's three guys just fucking talking.
Yeah.
And we could talk about now about the plants outside.
Yep.
Right. And some creeper in a corner, and we're not gonna be worried about like, oh my God, am I losing the gas?
Yeah.
Am I losing stuff, yeah. You know? Whereas there's some guests, like I used the example of Kyle, that you guys were like, fuck man, I wanna try to hit and be cool.
Yeah.
But,
it's hard to balance that. Like,
especially when you're on the come up.
Yeah.
Cause once you're the guy, bro, I've seen 7,000 episodes of yours, So everybody comes in already chill.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In this thing now, cause I loved your guys, the Toronto studio.
Yes.
That you had with like the lot. It was like I had good lighting from outside and stuff.
Big loft style, yeah.
And you could smoke in there and stuff.
You could smoke a lot in there.
But here you can't smoke, right?
Nah, you can, but then, you know, you're going to get a fucking invoice after for like 10 grand. So I don't know if it's worth the smoke, you know, but.
Dude, so we're all three nightclub guys.
Yes.
Right?
Day one.
My story is completely different than yours. When did you guys meet each other first?
I think it might have been, I mean, we met each other a while ago. I think when we started working together was maybe what, 5 years ago, 4 years ago?
2018?
Yeah.
Like 2017, something like that?
Yeah. So we were both promoting, just doing our own things, just separate promoters, doing different clubs, doing daytime parties, doing events. And then we just saw we were doing similar shit, you know, and like, if I could bring 1,000 people, you could bring 1,000 people. Why don't we just do it together? Bring 2,000.
Right.
So that was kind of, I think that was the initial mindset.
That was the beginning. But then I think the big thing that really made it work was like, I was looking around at people in the same industry as us. And I felt like nobody was matching like the work ethic like this guy was. So I was like, all right, if I'm going to be working with somebody, like they got to match my fucking work ethic. And so I saw that in him. And I guess he saw the same in me. So we're just like, yeah, fuck it. Like, why don't we just kind of team up and test the waters, you know what I mean? Like, instead of going like head deep into a partnership and a new business, we're like, okay, let's just, you know, try some things out and see kind of how it goes. And obviously it went well because we're here.
You know what I noticed too, that you guys are so well in sync. Like it's weird, bro. It's like it's like you're twins or something, because you don't jump over each other and you stop and you go and you stop, which is crazy, man.
I mean, it's been a lot. It's been a long time of, I think, us doing this, right? And just like even besides the podcast, just being in meetings together with clients, being with our team and stuff like that, we're always together just trying to preach a message, right? So I think it's just like just repetitive, just us, we keep doing it into the point where it's just like, yeah, we can have a full conversation and both bring value without, like you said, jumping over each other or cutting each other off.
It's sort of like a practice thing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just like, you know, I'm sure the first times we were trying to pitch people to work with our business or whatever, it was, sure, we're jumping over each other a little bit, but yeah, after you've done 1,000 fucking meetings with clients or pitches, and then obviously you bring the podcast into it, where it's a little more like you got people and cameras eyes on you and stuff like that. You learn a little bit. You pick up off on like, I know, I like, it's funny, like we're in a business, you know, we're pitching a client, and I know when he's like running too long and he doesn't know where to stop it. And then the same thing where then I'll just like pop in with a next point or vice versa. So you pick up on it, right? But that's something that's a big thing when it comes to like having a partner, a business partner.
How lucky do you guys feel about each other? Like, bro, I'm lucky I got my boy, because like I was telling him, this thing becomes really lonely.
Yeah.
Especially when you're obsessed with content and the whole thing. You're lucky you got a vlog guy here now, which is huge.
Shout out Jason.
Let's go.
Where did Jason come from? He actually
started with us as an intern.
He's got a big story.
He's got a really cool story. I mean, he reached out to us and he started off as an intern with us. Through LinkedIn, you hit me, yeah? Yeah, and we started him off as an intern, as pretty much everyone on the team starts as an intern, so we can test them out and they get to see the culture and all that. And I think within 2 weeks, we already gave him a role, like a part-time, and then 2 weeks after that, we gave him full-time, and then 2 weeks after that, I think we made him one of the managers at the company. So, man, he's killing it, so young, and he's so passionate about what he does, and he's very like-minded with us, right? So we saw that, and when people show us that kind of passion and show us how genuine they are about what they want to do, we always give opportunity.
Let me ask you a question. When you decided to shave the mustache,
it was hard for me, bro.
Do you hit him up and go, listen, bro, I'm going to make an executive decision?
Like, you know what? Sometimes there is conversation that goes around it, you know? And I think the last time I did it, I was just like, I've been getting roasted on this whole time I've been here because I haven't been able to catch like a proper tan while I've been here. I've been here for like fucking 3-4 months,
right,
but I'm
right.
working, you know, right, I'm in the right, condo, I'm working, I'm doing shit.
Yeah.
So it's not like I have time to just go to the beach and just lay down.
I told him when he
yeah,
I told him as soon as he shaved, I was like, bro, never do that again, bro.
Yeah, because I was just trying to like, you know, tan everything on my face. But
this guy's he's known for the mustache. Like in Toronto.
Bro,
like,
he was pulling it off, yeah, man. Not too many people can pull that shit off.
I've been rocking it for time, bro. Yeah, like, since I could grow a mustache, I had one. I fuck with it, bro.
And when you trimmed it down now, when did you notice you fucked up?
No, the first. Well,
I did like the when you did like the half side, and you're just like, fuck.
Oh shit!
But it's all good. Hopefully, I can grow it back pretty quick, maybe a couple weeks. But yeah, dude, you know, I like to be different, so I think the mustache.
Super unique, man. Super unique, and tattoos.
Yes.
I know you have the logo there.
Yes.
Are you guys gonna continue to get more or?
Yeah. I mean, we're both pretty tatted. That was something that kind of like we always tried to figure out. You know, would it affect our business negatively? But I think pretty early on, we kind of took the approach of like, we don't really give a fuck, right? So we've sat in business meetings like this, you know, Nike shorts, whatever, like tats everywhere. It didn't matter. And because our approach was always like, if you want to work with us, you want to work with us for how good we are, what we do, not by, you know, the tattoos I have or the way that I look or the clothes that I wear, right? I kind of like it. Like I kind of like walking into a business meeting where I would look like a, let's say, a bum to like a to an executive, but I start talking and then they're like, holy fuck, you know what I mean? It's kind of like it gets them going.
It's like, dude, it's the best, man. Like I told my chick, I go, listen, this because you know when guys get married, usually they like, you see it here in Miami, like. Not in the cool spot, but you see like guys dress real dorky,
yeah.
You know? And I go to my chick, listen, any time it's cold, I'm wearing a fucking hoodie.
Yeah.
And like, it looks like I'm in pajamas and yeah. I'm going to wear that to fucking Swan, Komodo, yeah. Poppy Steak, wherever. And the minute it gets cold, I'm rocking it like this.
Exactly.
Just 24/7. And I told them the vibe that I wanted, because the vibe you guys have is fun. Fucking around and fun.
Yeah.
You know? I'm a little interesting because my vibe's a little different, because my whole goal with getting you guys here today, other than bringing more awareness and bringing you guys value and stuff, is find out where your doubts are. Find out your roadblocks in this, in life, and where can I help you guys?
Yeah.
Like, have you tell me, bro, I'm here, been here in Miami this long. I'm thinking about start becoming a criminal.
Yeah,
I can make some moves on the side. I can make 50 G's on the side, whatever. And then my job's to tell you, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not the right play.
Not the right play. Or let's say this guy hits me up, bro, Ernesto's out of control. The fucking guy thinks he can shave whenever he wants.
He can shave his mustache whenever he wants.
He does all this crazy shit. I don't know. And then I go, well, think about it. You know, just that's my thing.
And we
man.
Appreciate that straight up because, I mean, we're new here, right? Yeah. So we don't really have anyone. And like you said, it gets lonely when you're so focused on your goals and stuff like that. So for us, we don't really have any sort of, I would say, any sort of mentorship when it comes to being in Miami. We've just been kind of going with the flow, like just learning on our own, right? And, you know, like the biggest way we learn is we lose money or we make a big mistake, you know? But if we can avoid that.
But that's everybody. But yeah. That's everybody. You yeah. know, that's everybody.
Yeah. I think it's inevitable, though. I think, like, the whole losing money thing is it's
yeah,
inevitable.
No.
Like, we've come here and we spent money on stupid shit already, trying different things. But at the same time, every time we left knowing, like, okay, not to do this. You got to move this way. You got to invest in this type of thing. So we're learning on the job, kind of, right? But it's also a fun approach in a way, right? Like, you enjoy it more. Like, I also don't like walking into, like, an investment, you know, an experience, you know, with someone on my shoulder kind of telling me, like, this is how you have to do it and this and that and whatever. Like, I actually prefer going in, and I'd rather lose the money or lose whatever, right, my time and energy, but finding it out on my own, you know what I mean, and in my own way. So that's kind of why we liked Miami. We literally came here knowing absolutely nothing. All we knew was we wanted to buy a house. That was like the first thing.
What was the stupidest thing you bought that you're like, fuck, we fucked up here?
Oh, I know exactly. I'll tell you exactly what it was. When we went out with the Nelk boys.
Oh, fuck.
This guy got all fucking sauced.
Oh, fuck.
And bought a $5,000 bottle of 1942.
It was good.
And that was definitely the stupidest thing you bought.
So
it was him. Wasn't
it was
me.
It was you, but that's the partnership.
But the thing is, I gave him the card, so I'm technically also.
Well, so let's talk about that. So. Your nightclub experience is Toronto, right?
Yes.
Mine is Las Vegas.
Wow.
So I used to, I started off as a promoter, dude, and I went at the age of 31 to Las Vegas from Los Angeles. But I'm the biggest failure in the history of Miami baseball by far, okay?
So, what does that mean?
So it means that I dedicated my whole life from when I was pretty much born to the age of 22, 21 to play baseball.
Okay.
My dad was obsessed with baseball. My dad prepared me for everything in life except to deal with him. So he would beat the shit out of me, like really, really, really bad, man.
Damn.
But what happened was, and as I hear so many people, greatness comes from adversity,
yeah.
is that, bro, my dad created an assassin.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's nothing you can do to me that he hasn't done already
yeah.
that I had to deal with. The only thing, I was powerless, right? Yeah. So I moved to... I was fed up with baseball. J-Lo puts me on a TV show. I start acting a show called South Beach with Vanessa Williams here. Oh. I go, fuck it, I'm going to act.
Yeah.
So I moved to Los Angeles. I lived in a car. And I'll tell the whole story later, but I lived in a car for 6 months, kind of like you guys. I didn't know a single person. But there was no internet. There was no smartphone. There was internet. There was no smartphone. I didn't move with somebody. I moved by myself. And I slept in the Hollywood Hills.
Damn.
Slept in a Toyota Corolla, 2006 Toyota Corolla. Bro, and I would shower and shave at the Equinox in West Hollywood. And I really realized why people go crazy. I had all my belongings in my car. I couldn't talk to anybody. And I thought that I would be like Mr. Me. I'd go around and yeah. I get some chick to sponsor me and I get out of my car.
Yeah.
And bro, I didn't talk to anybody, man. But I learned the power of mindset, right? So then I moved, after 6 years of that, I moved to Las Vegas. And I started off as a promoter. And I worked my way up to vice president of customer development. To a club called Hyde in the Bellagio.
Wow.
Yes, yeah, okay.
Know about that one.
You probably seen it. It's not around anymore, but it's there. And I lived at the Aria Hotel.
Nice.
At the Mandarin Oriental, excuse me.
No, worries.
The Mandarin Oriental, that's now the Waldorf Astoria. Bro, and I got a PhD in how to deal with people. Right?
Yeah.
And only us club people know that it's so competitive because people go anywhere.
Yeah.
And you make an agreement. Verbally.
Yeah.
So like, other than New Year's where you take a credit card statement down, it's literally, yeah, hey, I'll be there,
yeah.
a pool, a 10-guy table, whatever, and then you lose them because at Encore Beach Club, they got fucked up all day and they don't yeah. want to go out at night. Time,
yep.
right? So I know bottle minimums and stuff like that. So one bottle cost 5 G's. Where was it? I live?
What?
Is that what you said?
No, we went to...
We were. I thought you were saying there. Yeah, but fuck, we spent 5 G's. It was at Bottle Blonde.
Bottle Blonde, yeah.
I think, and it was like the, but it was like the Texas. Mickey.
It was like a 3-liter 1942.
It was like fucking.
Like I asked her just for tequila, and then she said which one, and I said 1942, and then the conversation ended, and she brought out the biggest one.
Bro, the thing was like, the thing
she
was
did the
huge.
Classic, you know, she's doing her thing.
And it's crazy because you being in the business,
I know what
you're
she's
like,
doing.
I didn't even think of this shit, bro.
I know what
fuck.
She's doing, yeah. Of
course, by the time he ordered the bottle, it was like, how many happy dads?
Oh, it was 15 happy dads.
Yeah, do those things taste good or no?
They taste good. Amazing. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
the problem with those. They tasted way too good, and then I just kept drinking.
Bro, when that happened to you guys, right? Mm. Were you like, okay, I'm as good as I think I am? Because usually what happens when you're on the come up is you know you're good, mm-hmm. but you need the validation. Because with yes. that validation, it brings in more attention, right? When did you realize that you guys were good?
I mean, I think we've always had that confidence. And I think in terms of validation, I think having someone like Kyle on the podcast was huge for us, right? I think we had confidence the whole time throughout the whole podcast, but having someone like that on the podcast is huge. I think that is the sort of validation that we look for. Like people like Kyle reaching out to us and saying, hey, I fuck with what you guys are doing. I don't really get too much validation from like just random people. I try not to focus on that too much because at the same time, other days it could be hate.
Right.
If you're going to focus on it, like, you know, it's going to affect you. Right. But I think in terms of validation, something huge was Kyle coming on. And I think, us deciding to come here, I think like within ourselves, we're like, yo, we fucking did it. Like we're fucking moving here, you know, like we're like ball rolling, not actually moving here yet.
But also what yeah. was good about the Kyle episode and what that really did for us was I feel like it put us on the stage that I felt like we deserved to be on. Right. And now we had big people, you know, posting the pod, like Dana White posted it. Dave Grumman posted it. Like, you know what I mean? Posting these clips and people who didn't know about us now knew about us, right? And now whether they liked us or didn't, that's a different, you know, scenario question. But we got to be for a little bit put on a stage that I felt like we had been working towards for a long time. And that's just like a massive new onset of viewership, right? And like, man, overnight we gained like 20-something thousand subscribers and the episode's still, the numbers are still running up. But just people reaching out to us and being like, you know, congratulations or whatever and randoms. Honestly, it's not even like, I'm not even really too much, like too excited about the people that already know us, but more that like, you know, we got people from like Connecticut or, you know, Wisconsin, like North Dakota.
We were actually checking out our rankings before you showed up.
Yeah.
And we're like getting ranked in like Latvia, Trinidad and Tobago, where else is Finland. It's like, it's crazy. It's crazy to think that people are around the world are listening to us.
Dude, it's awesome. My favorite part was, when you go, yo, Kyle, come on, man, just fucking come on the show. You're like going like this.
Yeah, I was snapping, bro, because yo, he's been manifesting it this whole fucking time, and every time we had an episode and it was brought up, like we just kept doing it. We put what we want out into the world, you know, like, and I think that's important because when we do stuff like that, then there's pressure on us, right? Because even if we only had, let's say, 5-10,000 listeners before, we're still telling them what we want to do and that we're gonna do it. So it's kind of like a pressure at the same time. So
that was awesome. I love that. I love that. How did you, after you do that, you're like, we're popping off. What did you guys start thinking guest-wise? Are you like, okay, you came strong. I like the watch guy. That was cool.
Timepiece was good.
The timepiece was good. I don't know about any of the other people in between.
Yeah.
Did you have that already set up? Or were you like, fuck, man, now we got to go gangster on guests? How was that?
So, timepiece was a good follow-up because like, basically, what we did was we did the Kyle episode, then we did an episode where we explained how we got him, because that's what everyone wanted to know.
Which was genius.
Yeah, so it's just me and him, right? And we're just kind of telling the whole story. And then we also talked about, like, the night out and stuff like that, which was cool. We followed up with Timepiece, who obviously has a big following because of Steve, and he's helped him out with that. But honestly, like, following that, we didn't really focus on getting, you know, the biggest, most, you know, the biggest celebrities. Because we also, like, for our new subscribers and new audience, we didn't want them to think now that we're just like a celebrity podcast, all we bring is celebrities, right? Like, we also wanted to show them who we really were and the way that we ran this podcast, which was always, I don't care if you have one follower on Instagram, 25 million followers on Instagram, if you can sit down across from us and bring value to the audience, that's what we're looking for, right? So like, you know, our views, obviously, since Kyle's have tapered off, we're not going to withhold, you know, the 1.5 million views every episode, and we knew that.
Right.
But our goal was essentially to just continue to show people like, hey, we did Kyle, that was great, whatever. But now we're going to continue bringing guests that we had on before Kyle, who, again, maybe aren't the biggest celebrities, but they're bringing a ton of value in their own industry, in their own way, the way they see life, their mindsets, things like that. So that was kind of like the way we approached the guest post that episode.
And I think it was, What I picked up from that is I love when you guys talked about how you work on your post-production, your editing.
Yeah.
Bro, because I am the most lazy motherfucker when it comes to that shit, because I don't know. I'm not tech savvy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I was saying, I'm 43 years old. I'm double your guys' age. And I saw that and I was like, fuck, man. I got to get that thing with the captions. Now everything is, even though I didn't do it today with Logan's because it just took me forever and it was going to fuck it up. Everything is now reels on IG.
Yeah.
And I saw that with you guys. And to me, that was so important, bro, because I can't tell you how many badass conversations I've had, interviews, that I just throw it up like nothing. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I heard that, bro. Who thought of doing that?
I mean, I think we've both always seen how much content matters when you're going to do something. You know, like we saw that from Nightlife to begin with. We're like, okay, we're going to throw this party. We need 150 pics. We need 3 videos. We need a drone in the sky because we need to show everyone what the fuck they just missed.
Right.
Right. And I think it's the same thing that goes into a podcast, right? So for us, we always thought, and we were even much smaller scale when we first started. If we're going to get this person to come sit down in front of us and talk about their story and give value, we need to take the most out of it. And for us, one video was not enough. Like one full video was not enough because we saw the opportunity on Instagram. We saw how many people are watching videos. And we knew that that was a good way to kind of draw people to YouTube, because for us, like, YouTube was never something big for our audience or ourselves.
Yeah.
So we needed something to draw them there. Right. And I think that those clips did that. And I think even like back home when we were at our studio, we do photos as well and stuff like that. We try to, I think we send the guest about maybe 40 pieces of content. They're never getting that.
No way.
They're never getting that.
That's also how we were able to continue to get like bigger and better guests.
Exactly.
Because they knew that if they came on our show, they were going to get 40 pieces of content. Right. And how hard is it and how expensive is it to create content nowadays? Right. Everyone wants that professional photo, that professionally edited reels with the subtitles. And we're like, yeah, come on, come talk to us, share our podcast to your audience, and we're going to give you all this, right? And then in terms of the editing and whatnot, like we came to the realization that like the short clips are what you need to draw people to go watch the longer form content. But when it comes to the whole editing process, actually Jason, for our podcast, Jason does it all. This guy's a fucking, he's a machine.
He's a machine, bro.
He's a machine. And it's what's crazy is that right now we're at a point with him where he already knows what we want to see. So like he's editing the full episode and then he's actually picking all the little hype clips that we're going to use for Instagram, TikTok to get people to the episode, because we've built that chemistry where he knows what we want to see from a creative standpoint. So it's like you work on it and it takes time, but once you find that rhythm, you're golden, man. It's honestly, you're golden. Right?
I think also the content helped us seem bigger than we were. Like people saw us maybe episode 10 and maybe we didn't even have any like super impressive guests by then, but they're like, oh, these guys are doing something because I see all this content everywhere and it looks so professional. And it's like, yeah, yo, we're huge, bro. Like
that's what Kyle said. He's like, I liked the production. I liked the way you guys presented the podcast. And so again, at that point we hadn't had anybody really massive, but we made the production and the editing at such a high level where you had to look at us like we were bigger than we were, because we were, even though we were small, we were just taking it that serious.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a big piece of the content aspect for sure.
On YouTube, my biggest video, not as big as you guys, but my biggest video with rapid growth was when I did my reaction to them taking down the Trump video.
Wow.
With Nelk.
Okay.
Oh.
And the reason why I did that, I'm curious to get your guys' point of view, is whether you like Trump or not, that becomes secondary, right? But man, if a young Ernesto and Anthony are watching that in high school, and they're like, wait a minute, these motherfuckers that are, one guy is there drinking, doesn't even say a word.
And Steve didn't say nothing.
Didn't say nothing. Just sat there and smiled. He's and so glue, happy. Right? The fucking guy was going, in people's ears, probably asked the best questions.
Yeah, Salim.
Salim, right?
He did.
And then Kyle's doing his thing, and I go, oh my God, that just means that if you can just find a passion and do it, you could interview the greatest of all time in anything. And the fact they took that down, that's what pissed me off.
Yeah, 100%. I was very upset with that. And we actually caught it. We were lucky we caught it on YouTube.
Yeah, right away.
We caught it. And then, but I mean, even Trump said it on the episode, right? But it's horrible, man, what they're doing with censorship, if you want to go talk about that a little bit. But in terms of like making something happen like that, I mean, you can watch their vlogs. Even they're like, holy fuck, we're about to interview Trump. Like, It's insane. And the way you broke it down, right? Like one guy just got famous from drinking. One guy got famous from humming in people's ears, right? Like, and they're all sitting down with the former president. So I think they're inspiring so many people like us. Like, they're inspiring us all the time. When they do something like that, we're like, bro, that's fucking crazy. Like, we can do that.
No, and we sit in the studio and then we sit back after editing and whatever. And me and him are just like, there's nobody we can't interview. It's just how are we going to get there? Let's find that out. And then we're going to go figure it out. We're going to go get there. And these guys doing something like that, it really, I think, just shows us. But, you know, all the younger Anthony's, Ernesto's, you know, whoever that are sitting in like, fuck, anything really is possible.
Yeah, bro. And Dana White's the best, man. So,
oh, yeah.
Dana White used to, he's been to Hyde. He came to Hyde one time. And we used to have a girl that worked for us named Amber Nicole.
Okay.
And Amber, bro, she was gorgeous, man. Her job, and she was a little bit, I think she was maybe early 30s, kept for a nightclub. You know, that's
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, and her job only was to go to a table and get fucked up. Like, literally, she would go and rack up the bill.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was her job. And this poor girl would get destroyed every single night, right? And she would come out, like, literally come out of the club like this, but she was the best. And yeah. she would rack up the bill and the bill and the bill and the bill. And one day she brings in Dana, right? And Dana is the best, man. He pulls up in his Bentley. I'll never forget, puts up in his Bentley. Bellagio has two entrances, main entrance and one called North Valet. That's like the VIP where you park your car, you valet, and you get out. Bro, he gets out, like four older women, Dana. He takes pictures with bro, super patient. He comes in, and I get him at his table, and he's there with her. And this dude, probably he got a $4,000 minimum, $3,000 minimum, spent in liquor. I'll never forget this. His bill was like $12,000, and he tipped the servers 25 G's.
Wow.
That's, he's a beast, man. And then, wow, oddly that. Enough, Amber ended up marrying Tito Ortiz.
So she's
Tito Ortiz's wife. Jeez. Now.
So she's okay. She's doing okay.
She's doing all right. She's doing all right. But it just goes to show you, yeah. man, that good people, and to me forever, and I'll never forget this, man. We were at the table, and at the end, because it was my section, I go, dude, I go, you're the best, man. Thank you so much. And as a host, we don't make that. That's all to the house. Yeah. And he gave me a good compliment. And I go, bro, I'll never forget that shit. You know, and next time I see him again or whatever, I'm going to remind them about that night. You had questions for me. What questions do you have for me?
Yeah, no, I just, yeah, I mean.
I did too, to be
I
honest.
I mean, well, I saw you came here from ESPN Miami, which is like already, that's fucking crazy.
Right.
But how did you get into now doing this type of content, interviewing people? Again, like, you know, you got these videos with Logan Paul you just posted, Andrew Schultz, right? Like, how are you interacting with these people? How are you getting that opportunity? If you don't mind me asking.
Look, bro, ask everything. I've always, like, I'm going to do a post now that talks about premonition, right? And you guys talked about it. So it's almost like you guys knew already. You're pumped, but now 1.2 million views, going to be, by the time we leave you, it might be 1.4.
Yeah.
It's going to look like 10 at some point, right? So to me, I lived my whole life. You guys ever watched Lord of the Rings?
Of course, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
So my whole life, I wanted to be the king. What's the king's name again? And what is it? The character?
I'm the word.
Aragorn. Okay. I wanted to be Aragorn.
Aragorn.
I'm the king. I'm the guy that pulls up here in a fucking Ferrari. I'm the guy because I wanted people to be impressed by me, right? But I was never a hater. But I came from, I'm a Cuban kid from Miami. They used to take the yellow bus. And in high school, my mom used to drop me off. And I was embarrassed of that because my dad was beating the shit out of me. And my dad was miserable in a sense. And I thought that was because we were like entry-level middle class. And we never went anywhere. And all we do was play baseball. All we do was practice baseball, like my whole life. You know, I never had a car, never had nothing. But ironically, the man upstairs, when I go to Beverly Hills, I'm working with the most famous people in the world, training them and their kids in baseball. And I'm realizing it's the principles that my dad taught me. Other than, I'm not going to fuck you up. I'm going to be super positive about that.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was preparing for that. So I go, that's interesting. And then I go, okay, so you take a guy that wish he was a private school kid his whole life, which was me. Because I would not, and as I got older, you'd look at me and I look like a complete idiot because I would flaunt like if I'm on a yacht and kind of be that way, but I'm not. But I'm from literally from the middle of, I wasn't from this side. This is the cool side of Miami. Yeah. I'm from the West, bro.
Okay.
Which is a side that nobody's claiming.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So as I'm doing that, I was like, how does that kid now have the highest theoretical player in Las Vegas? Theoretical play, for if you guys are gamblers, I don't know if you got gambles on. So theoretical play, Vegas rates you on your play. Vegas doesn't give a fuck if you come in and deposit $20 million in the Bellagio Casino. What they care about is your theoretical play, which is your average hand. The higher you play, times the longer you sit at the table and play.
Wow.
That's all they give a fuck about. So in 2014, I, a Cuban kid from Miami, right, had the highest theoretical player in Las Vegas. A dude that would play roulette and average $330,000 a spin.
Oh, what?
A spin.
What?
Damn.
That's crazy.
So I start to ask myself, I don't know if you guys are religious or not, whatever. I was like, why would I be here right now? Yeah. Why am I seeing this? And you're looking at a guy that I look this way, but I've never drank in my life. I've never done drugs. Never tasted alcohol. The only time I've ever tasted alcohol is when I'm making out with a chick. That's it, you know? So I realized that, right? So I was like, fuck. But every time I try to show off, I fail. So that's fucking interesting. So I bring off the gold of the Lord of the Rings stuff because I was never meant supposed to be the king in my heart. And I almost get emotional thinking about this. I'm Gandalf.
Yeah.
And if you look at Gandalf, and I saw this in a story there when they talked about, this is nerd talk, in his thing, he goes, Gandalf is the most powerful guy there is. But he can only use his powers to help others.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was like the realization you had.
And I saw that with, and I'm Cuban, so when I say, when you're Cuban, you say stories in a long way. That's why this goes long. It goes like this. When I was in Los Angeles, there was a guy named Sasha Snyder. Sasha Snyder was the line producer of a show called Commander in Chief with Gina Davis. It was a while back. But when you're in a late act, you're so desperate. And there wasn't this. Yeah. This changed my life because I realized I can make content. I don't give a fuck about a casting director.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Kyle shows up, there's content. Kyle doesn't show up. Hey guys, on today's episode, we're going to talk about how Nelk dodged me. Here we go.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Everything is content.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that didn't exist back then. So this guy brings me a book, and because he was powerful, I would listen to whatever he said. The guy could have said, listen, bro, for you to become an actor, what I want you to do is start jumping off of cliffs.
He would have jumped.
And stay alive. If you could stay alive, you're going to act. I go, fuck it, here we go. Right? And the guy tells me you should read a book by Winston Churchill, The Life of Winston Churchill, called The Last Line. And I was like, holy shit, the book was this big, bro, and I'm not a reader, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And audiobooks, I don't think we're out then. And I was like, how the fuck, and it's British, I'm not into that shit. Like, this is going to be so boring. But in the first page, I fucking got it. It started talking about, I don't know if you know anything about history, but Churchill is the guy, the one fucking guy in Europe that stood up to Hitler.
Okay.
So that's why everybody that's gangster loves Churchill. Because he was this fat, bald guy smoking a cigar that didn't give a fuck, right?
My kind of guy.
But when they talk about him, they said, in Europe's, England's most testimonial time that they needed somebody, a leader, to stand up to the biggest tyrant in Europe's history, they're light in Parliament, a guy for 40 years who waited his time, who was fat, balding, and that's when he shined.
Yeah.
So he waited for 40 fucking years. You guys haven't waited for 40 years anything. You're not even 40 years old yet. You motherfuckers are not even 30 and you already have a million views. You're about to sign with the hottest thing. So I saw that and I go, holy shit, I'm going to be successful later in life.
Yeah.
And I saw that, right? So now you ask me, how do I get into all this, right? When I was doing that in Vegas, being with celebrities, I'm almost like a celebrity because now I'm the guy and I'm the most powerful guy. I always say this in Las Vegas, that wasn't a Jason Strauss that owns Marquee Group or the guy from Hakkasan.
Yeah.
If I didn't own anything, but I had that kind of power. And I felt the man upstairs talking to me and going, the legend isn't going to die running around a 10,000 square foot Las Vegas nightclub. I'd have been in private planes already. I spent probably three summers in Europe in the nightclub world. We're talking about Ibiza, Greece, places, Montenegro, places that I've never been at, you know? And I go, I'm going to do something different. The connection with the Logan Pauls, the Gary V's of the world is as I saw that, I go, fuck, man, the baseball world, because I come from baseball, I go, I'm going to try to help parents and kids. That's it. I'm going to try. Because everybody wants to be you guys now, but they don't know the hard work that you guys have gone through. So sports, especially now, is something that I want people to unite us. Okay. Whether you like the Raptors, you don't like the Raptors, whatever, but it unites us. But what happens is with the business of the little league stuff, and you guys don't know this, there's travel teams. Then you come from the soccer world, no?
Yes.
So what happens is they start taking money from you because they're going to do travel teams and they're going to play better competition. But each tournament costs money.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So parents start getting pissed because they're investing.
Yeah.
And they're not getting the result from their kid. They're like, fuck Ernesto, I spent 5 G's on you in 4 tournaments and nobody knows who you are. Like, come on. And what happens is sports is supposed to bring us together and it started splitting people apart. Yeah. So I started talking about that. Okay. And the reason I started talking about that was I saw Gary interviewing Tony Robbins and I saw him in the middle of Tony Robbins talking, interrupt him. And I was, and Tony Robbins is wearing a suit and Gary's dressed like us. Chill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I go, who the fuck is this guy? Look at this guy's fucking balls. Yeah. But he's in office, whatever. And bro, and I saw the content. So I'm going to start doing content. So look how lucky you guys are. You got this fucking dude over here. You guys are young. Everybody understands it. I'm a fucking 37-year-old guy vlogging in Miami streets in baseball. Everybody hating on me. Like, who the fuck does this guy think he is?
Yeah.
I don't know editing at all. Everybody promises me they're going to help me in editing. Nobody does. I have to go like some loser to the Apple store and learn how to edit on iMovie for 2 months, twice a week. I sat there by myself, learning how to edit, and then I'd be there in my house till 3-4 in the morning at nighttime after doing 6-10 lessons in the sun here, editing, and my wife watching me, who's a fucking 10, and
got me. Pause.
That's amazing.
You guys hear that?
His wife's a 10.
Legend.
But no,
I love it. I love that.
In my eyes, I came back for this woman, right? I went to high school with her. I saw her one time, and I go, this is the hottest girl I've ever seen in my life. Never spoke to her, but I got her later, and I'm sitting there. This beautiful person is watching me edit here on a little iPro Air, whatever, small like this, and I'm just editing all night, right? And what I had in my brain, I couldn't put there because I didn't have this technology, bro.
Yeah.
But I knew numbers. Yeah. And I knew this is going to hit. This is going to hit. This is going to, because I'm speaking my truth. I talked about certain things about a wedding peeing in my bed till I was the age 14 because my dad's beating the shit out of me. And I don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
I talked about wanting to impress people in Los Angeles. So I lied to people that I played for the Yankees. And I fit them all because I'm a Cuban guy. And I go, oh, I play for Yankees. I pitched, you know, I'm lefty pitcher, whatever, whatever. And the wrong guy fucking Googled me and told everybody.
Wow.
Right? And I'm at Leonardo DiCaprio's house. And everybody's there famous. And I'm not. And I thought that was my way to fit in. I thought girls, because the one thing I was good at was always picking up girls. I always thought that girls would make me fit in with you guys. Because look what I got, whatever. And I realized that it didn't, man. And then I saw Logan Paul's thing, saw his brother, I saw Gary, and I saw Casey Neistat a lot, and I saw him intro their videos. And they'd be like, hey guys, what's up, Logan and Jake Paulers and whatever. And I was like, fuck, and then I start my videos. Hey guys, how are you? It's Coach HP. Bro, one day it fucking hit, bro. What's up, everybody? It's your coach. I'm here. And it just set my tone, bro.
Yeah.
So that's how this started.
That's crazy.
Okay, but then how do you like, how do you get in the room with these people, right? Because I think that's something that a lot of people listening would want to maybe find out. Like, how the fuck is this guy? And even if it's 5 minutes.
Let's do Gary. I'll show you Gary. Yeah. You know who Gary Vee is, right?
Of course.
Come on, bro.
Okay. A guy reaches out to me from VaynerMedia. My boy Andrew. Andrew Goldberg. Shout out to him. He reaches out to me pushing wine. They're doing something with the wine. He had Empathy Wines. Yes. So he just texts me through it. And I look, this is my social, bro. Any help you need, let me know. Ironically, I was on ESPN and I have this content endorsing, crushing, and talking about, oh, how good the book was, whatever, whatever, yeah. Right? I come and this guy reaches out to me and he goes, dude, I love your content, man. Why don't you come on my podcast? And I noticed he was interviewing people in Gary's office. I go, that's interesting. I go, all right. I was the first influencer to sign with Rawlings. Rawlings is a glove company. I have my own glove, all this stuff, right? And then I sign with New Balance. So I go to Boston to sign with New Balance. When I come back, I go, I'll just drive to New York and I'll do the podcast. I go with the guy. I'm there and I feel the vibe of like the guy is like, Gary was in Denver. The guy is like not welcomed. Like I felt that he was like doing stuff almost like trying to impress me and he was getting evil eye looks and stuff. And I was like, fuck, this is interesting. And I go to the guy, I go, listen, bro, I don't give a fuck about Vayne. I love Gary, but I don't give a fuck about Vayne. I'll do this interview under a bridge. Yeah. You don't need to impress me. I don't want you getting in trouble. Yeah. It's like, no, bro, we did the whole podcast. We're done. After the guy goes to me, we became friends. I posted it, whatever. He posted it. He goes to me, bro, you should become boys with Lou. Lou's a baseball guy. I go, okay. The Nationals are paying the Astros. Coincidentally, this guy's an Astros guy. I come and we start talking baseball. That was in October. In November, I'm out with Rawlings in the Gold Glove Awards. Best Gold Glove, best defensive guy at the Plaza Hotel right there in Central Park. And I call the guy. I go, listen, bro, I'm going to be in town. I don't know if I can be of any help or not, right? Yeah. I don't know if I can be any service. I'm a baseball guy. I don't know if you play, because he knew a lot about baseball. He's like, bro, I don't play, but my brother does. And my dad's obsessed with it. And this dude looks completely white, but he's half Dominican.
Okay, this guy's like, this is my family.
So I go, oh my God. So I fucking pack up a bunch of extra shit and I fly in a day early. Right? This is important. I fly in a day early and I help this guy out with his kid. Tell him everything. Super nice guy. I love him. He invites me to dinner. We're just there talking, baseball life. And I'm trying to tell him, enjoy this moment. The guy's very deep involved in an organization there in New Jersey. New Jersey baseball really started to pop off because you heard of Mike Trout?
Yeah,
he's from New Jersey. He put New Jersey baseball on the map.
On the map, yeah.
Because before, nobody, we wouldn't even think about that. It was all Miami, California, Texas.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he put New Jersey baseball on the map. So I'm there, and this is turning into an episode of Money Buys Happiness, by the way.
We said, we're coming here, we're going to ask him some questions.
Dude, I'm telling you.
We're going to turn to the host. But I'm cool with that. I love it.
No, this is it. This is it. So, bro, I come and I go to the guy. I go, listen, when I left, this is Thursday night. Any help I could be? I didn't see your son hit. If you need me for anything, let me know. I'll never forget the following day, I'm interviewing Ozzie Smith. Remember Ozzie Smith, the shortstop for the Cardinals?
I think so.
The wizard, the guy who used to do the flips in the 80s and stuff. Yes, super famous. I'm interviewing him, and this guy sends me this huge text. Bro, I would be so grateful if you could come. I've arranged you to speak to the team, and I had a guy vlogging me. Speak to the team, helping us out, blah, 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 this whole thing. I was like, done. I finish interviewing best players in the world, Plaza Hotel, at 3 in the morning. At 7 in the morning, my positive self got in the ferry. His son, Lou, picked me up. Probably like a 20-minute ride to the ferry in New Jersey. Like a 2.5-hour ride. And I worked there for 3 hours for free. And I just helped dudes out in high school. The whole thing, right? When I'm done, the guy looks at me and goes to me, brother, I cannot repay you for what you've done. Let me tell you something. My best friend is Gary Vee. I've known Gary since we were in the wine business, because I'm in the wine business. Wow. I knew Gary when we went to go see the Jets play the Raiders in Oakland. And on the way back, Gary pulls out a yellow notepad and wrote down his idea to start Wine Library. Wow. I've known him since then. Wow. He hired my son, who's Little Lou. I don't know if you know Little Lou. Lou Genix, Lou Geno. Lou Geno. He's Gary's right-hand man. He hired his son, who's now Gary's right-hand guy. He does Card Talk and a bunch of stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Forever. So this is his guy.
Damn.
He's now my guy, right?
Yeah.
Because he's like my brother. So he goes, I'm going to get you a sit-down with Gary.
That's crazy.
I come and I go, Lou, that'd be cool, but the only reason why I'm doing that, the only reason I'll ever do that is if you come with me.
Boom.
Because my goal with Gary will always be that I can see that motherfucker in the airport and go, Gary, what's up, bro? Give him a good hug and go, keep crushing it, bro, and just keep going.
Yeah.
That's been my goal with him always. And look how lucky I am. And it's more important for me to share this story than me beating any of these guys, meeting any of these guys. Yeah. Just say this for you guys, because when I see guys that are fans of positivity and have good energy, I'm like, these guys are going to win. But I stand for positiveness and happiness, right? Not sexiness. But even though you could be sexy, but I want positivity and happiness. So when you guys blow the fuck up, which you will, because everything is gearing towards that way, my job is to remind you guys, listen to me, bro. Don't be a fucking dickhead here. Stay chill. Stay cool. Happy dads all over the place. Fucking pace yourself, right? Because you guys aren't those guys.
Yeah.
You're different kind of guys.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that. Because, like, so when me and you were chatting back and forth, you hit me up. And, like, obviously, like, ever since we came here, a lot of people have been like, hey, come on my podcast. Come on this, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. And, like, we're always working. So, we try and make the time. But when I clicked your profile, I saw the most positive guy on the internet. So, that, for me, was already
literally,
like,
your bio. Yeah, that was amazing.
I'm like, okay, that's already, like, I want to meet this guy. They can, like, come on the show, whatever. And then we talked for a bit and we made it happen. And it's funny. So I'm like, hey, Ernesto, like, we're going to go on this podcast. He's like, yeah, like, let's do it, whatever. And then, like, a couple days go by, maybe like yesterday, the day before, and he goes, I don't know if it was you or somebody. He's like, hey, like, oh, how many, like, subscribers? And I'm like, I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, we're on this show here. You could have a million subscribers. You could have three. It wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah.
It was the energy that, like, I could feel through our conversation, and then we hopped on the phone, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna.
No, and the fact you called me, because some people are like, I'm not gonna call this guy, or oh my god, but I want to talk to you,
because
I want you to feel the passion.
No, I felt it, because I told him that
when he calls me, I'm like, Anthony, what's up, bro?
It's already good.
Like, if I known you my whole life, right?
It felt like that. Me and you talked for, and it wasn't long, maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was short, but I was like, but I want that for you guys, so. The guy comes back. Let's go to the Gary situation. So the guy comes back and he goes, done. This was in November 2019. February 21st, 2020, I go see Gary. If, and you guys will be there one day, I promise you. If you guys ever go to VaynerMedia, VaynerMedia, it's in 10 Hudson Yards. Hudson Yards is gorgeous, bro. Probably maybe like a lot like Toronto in the sense of, I don't know if Toronto, I have a vibe, but Toronto's very clean.
depends where you go.
It's like a New York vibe. It is
like
a New York
nice
vibe.
The nice areas, you know?
Yeah.
And this is like rare for New York, because usually New York is beautiful, built up, but it's dirty because a lot of population. This place is so modern, it's beautiful. And that's like Mecca for entrepreneurs and for like just a vibe there, and his pictures of Nipsey Hussle and all this thing, whatever. And I have this all documented. So I'm there and I come in. I give Gary a high five, like if I've known him my whole life, and we sit down. And the guy comes in with Lou, and this is this guy, and he throws him some cards, and he starts opening cards, and he goes to me, how can I help you? And I don't need anything from you, buddy. I just want to tell you how proud I am of you.
Wow.
And I start talking to him about life, and then how did you meet? And I go, feel. And I go, I feel that this is serendipity, because I know about 10 people that have been on your show that I could have pushed. Bro, like, give me a sit down with Gary. Give me a sit down with Gary. Give me a sit down with Gary.
Yeah.
But I waited. And he goes, you see this right here? It was already meant to be.
Yeah.
Because with this guy, you're already good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah,
that, right? Yeah. So I go to him. I go, listen, what does the number 213-931-5731 mean? He goes, that's my number. That's his text number. He was doing like this texting.
Text
like
text community. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I had gone out and I interviewed people with the number. I did this whole thing. And I go, that's your number, right? I go, yeah. I go, listen, I'm going to be in, I was supposed to speak in Ontario. He was going to be in Ottawa.
Okay.
I go, I want to be part of your street team. I just want to help out.
Yeah.
He goes, I got a better one for you. Let's take this in a different direction. Me and you need to have dinner.
Oh, that's amazing.
Think about that.
Wow, mic drop.
Think about that, right?
Yeah.
Bro, I had Rawlings make him a custom glove or whatever, whatever. We're leaving. He goes, well, what are you guys doing tomorrow? And Lou's like, I don't know. What do you want to do? He's like, I'm going to do a card thing. He's going to go to a card thing with his kids, whatever. Why don't you come with me? Is HP going to be there? He goes, yeah. He goes, oh, perfect. Come with me. This is the most important part of the whole fucking story. I got to spend a Saturday morning, beautiful day like today. It was in a winter with Gary. I saw him interact with zero fucking cameras. And I'll tell this to him one day. I haven't seen him since. With zero cameras, with his kids in a card place, sports card place in Winchester. Bunch of dorky people, not cool people. There was no just regular card aficionados.
Yeah.
You know, passionate about something. My kind of people. I'm not a card guy, but I'm passionate about people that are passionate about something. And I saw that. And I saw, and he's with his son and his daughter, who are around 10 years old, maybe younger, how patient he was with them. The daughter was bored at some point. He walked her. He didn't send somebody. He walked her himself into the car, came back with the driver, came back, was there with his son, hustled people for cards. Still was him.
Yeah.
Okay, the guy's like, okay, Gary, he bought two Juan Sotos, and I forget, destroyed the guy, but the guy goes, hey, if you give me a shot, Gary's like, all right, no problem. Boom, 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 boom. And I go, oh my God, this guy's the fucking real deal, man.
Yeah.
That's why I was meant to see this, so I can share this with you guys now.
That's crazy.
And now here's the most important, the second most important part about the whole thing. As we're leaving, I don't have a cell phone number. I go, look, Gary, when do you want to do dinner, whatever? He goes, listen, we got Lou here. We'll be together. He goes, how about this? I'm supposed to be in spring training in Tampa because one of the pitchers, their ace, had reached out to him for him to speak. Okay. He goes, why don't you drive up from Miami? Will you watch me speak? And we'll have dinner. I go, done. COVID hit.
Fuck.
Now what do you do? You're 40 years old. You have a kid. You just lost a kid through miscarriage. Your wife's pregnant again. What do you do? That's how you know you're passionate about this. And then at the time, I didn't know I was going to have the three biggest meetings, three most successful people that I've known in my life. Look at me in my face. Tell me, I want you to come work for me. It's a done deal. And then get amnesia and do nothing.
Damn.
What do you do?
Holy shit, bro. That's insane.
Because there's no failure, right? I go, watch this. Watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the fucking Coach HP show. And I'm going to destroy everybody. I don't give a fuck if I'm 100 years old doing the show. I'm going to attack.
Yeah, go on the offense.
Bro, when it's time to attack, you grab the knife, you put it in your mouth. You don't look to the left, you don't look to the right. You look straight and you attack, man.
Yeah.
And I told my chick, I go, listen, the only thing that'll mess this up is you. As long as you're willing to stay on board with me with this. And when you have a 10, it's fucking hard.
100%.
Because 10s aren't like 7s, bro, or like 4s.
They gotta, it's
a thing, bro.
Faster.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
And you got two kids with them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it showed faith and stuff, and here we are. So that's that story.
Wow.
That's how I meet Gary. Go try that, right? Yeah. But what's the answer?
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah.
And give.
Well, when the guy first called you, he said, no problem, I'll come there.
Free.
Talk. This nothing
look
in return.
Look at everything I invested.
Yeah. That's good karma. That's great karma.
I had no idea who the guy was.
Yeah.
So when you guys now, as I'm watching you guys, I'm like, these motherfuckers don't respond to the YouTube comments. They like them. I see it, but they're not responding, right? I go, they're getting tired. They're getting tired because, you know, whatever. Comments, motherfucker. I want you guys responding because you guys are about to be icons. You don't know that yet.
Yeah.
I do. I see that. I feel that. Respond to those guys.
You hear that, bro?
Yeah, I'm on it. I got you.
No, you're right. It's no, true. You're it's true. You know what? It's crazy. I mean, if anyone's watching this and wants to hit us up, hit us in the DMs, though, personally, because that's something that we respond to. It doesn't matter if you have zero followers, one, five photos, no likes, doesn't matter. That's a place for you can get to us for sure. Is our personal Instagrams though?
I gotta respond to the comments.
But though, even so in YouTube, no, it only helps the algorithm.
Of course,
no, for sure.
You know that.
Sure.
That's why even when people hate on me, my most other in the Trump video, I get destroyed.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, I got so much love, but some people hate on it, right? And in 24 hours, I had 50,000 views, like this, and it was just me talking.
Wow.
So I didn't have a huge guest promoting it.
That's fucking
it's literally
awesome.
Me talking, and I think now it's almost at 100,000. I think YouTube stopped it because of the thing it was, but. Anytime anybody ever hates on me, I go, thank you for the comment, my man. Yeah. Literally, everybody gets that.
Yeah. I'm going to do that.
But you know what they see? The algorithm's like, they're involved in the community.
Yeah,
let's keep them going. Let's keep them going.
No, you're completely right.
And when somebody looks at you and they see that 1.3 million views, and instead of seeing 7,000 comments, you're seeing now 14 because the other seven are you responding back.
Yeah, it's true.
See what I mean?
I know. I'm gonna hit a fucking YouTuber. I'm gonna fucking blast all the comments now. I'm gonna be having conversations, bro. It's gonna be literally starting with five comments. It's gonna say like 50,000 comments. I'm just gonna have conversations. But no, man, you know what? We usually always do that, to be honest. Like with Instagram and all that stuff, we always respond. And I think you're right though. With YouTube, we got just a little bit tired. Just because, like, you know, some of it's hate, some of it's great love, to be honest. But I'm gonna respond to everyone. Thank you for the comment.
Thank you for the comment, my man.
That's it. Boom.
I like and that. Then I'm not going to another one. I'm not fighting with you.
Yeah. No, that's it.
Right? That's the last
thank
one you're
you
getting.
And that's it.
And we're keeping going.
Do they ever hit you back after the thank
of
you?
Of course they do. Of course they do. But I just, hey, are you, is this a bot?
Yeah, it's fucked, bro. There's so many bots, though.
Bro, like, I get like some serious attack, you know? And I'm like, but I know who I am already. And I got lucky because I wouldn't know what it's like, the pressure you guys have. You guys have pressure, bro. You're in your mid 20s.
Oh, lots of pressure.
You know what I'm saying? And you're not developed yet as men.
Nope.
You haven't been tested in certain things.
Yeah.
You started testing yourself with the move to Tulum first when you guys hung out there, right?
Yeah.
That those are the first things. Then it's going to come the day you guys disagree on something.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Maybe it happened already, but it's going to happen some more. And then what if Kyle likes this guy more than you?
Yeah.
Fuck, and that's a conversation you got to have. Bro, listen, we got to, those are things you got to talk about because,
of course,
bro, some of the greatest lead singers of all time left bands.
Yeah.
Probably all of them. Or they brought the band with them.
Yeah.
So you gotta, and that's the ego stuff.
Yeah.
That's the stuff, you know, and that's huge.
No, I think we're in a, it's funny, I don't think I've ever said this on a pod, but when we first partnered up, like if you knew nightlife in Toronto, you knew Ernesto. I was in it, but not to the extent that he was. And when we connected and started working together, he really put me on. Like, he really put me on. Like, in a way that, like, he did not have to at all. Like, and there was no, we're not blood family. We had no business, no financial connection, nothing. And he put me on in a way that, like I was having this conversation with another one of my friends. I said, I owe this guy, like, I'm indebted to this guy forever for the way that he put me on and brought me in. And I think that was kind of the first thing. And then the second thing was when we started our business, Neighborhood Creative, our marketing agency, whatever. At the beginning, a lot of the business we were getting was coming because of people who knew Ernesto. And there was this thing where we actually had another partner who left the business. We kicked him out. But there was a dynamic where, like, we just... Like, I said this to him. We went on, like, a trip to Portugal or something. And I said this to him. I'm like, I'm cool being the second guy. My ego doesn't... I don't require being the first guy. I don't need to be the face. Like, if we're both going to... And this business is going to succeed with me being the second... Like, the second guy in the band.
Right.
I'm cool with it. Like, I'm good with that. I don't have this ego that I need that, right? And then I feel like in moments that has been changing. Maybe, for example, like... When Kyle reached out, it was to me, whatever. And I feel like him too, he was like, cool, I can take the step back and be the second guy. And so we've kind of been having that now more recently. And honestly, since the beginning, but we had this understanding, I think, that we just want to win. I don't care. I don't need to be the face. And he feels the same way, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Based on the way that things have been going for us.
Of course.
as long as the end goal is that we all win and that we can help people and bring people on our team, like Jason, his sister's a partner in our business, feed her, my sister, we just hired her full time. If we have the opportunity to bless people to that extent, who gives a fuck who's the face? Who gives a fuck who gets the more likes or comments or love or whatever? It doesn't matter. As long as our common goal is that we're going to build something that people will remember forever and we get to bring so many people along with us, then who cares at the front? Who cares who's at the front? Who cares who gets more love?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. So we've been challenged, I feel like, in that way a lot over the last 3 years. But so far, knock on wood, it's been good. We just both get it. We just are both like, whatever. We know our fucking, our visions are aligned. And we kind of have promised ourselves, like, girlfriends, family members, whatever, like anything that could come in between, that we are going to, you know, promise, you know, 15, 20 years of like hard work before we abandon this thing.
Are you guys single?
I am.
I'm not.
You're not. How long have you been in a relationship for?
Too long.
So you're used to that. How do you like being single, ma'am?
I love it. I mean, I don't do much here. I just fucking work. But listen, I like being single because I liked being single before for different reasons. Now I like being single because I just get to really focus in on myself. And you know this, being in nightlife, it's very hard to take in, like, just to take care of yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, self-care. Because you're always just out. I mean, you said you didn't drink and shit, but I fucking drink.
Yeah, of course, you know what
I
mean?
Like,
yeah.
I was fucking drinking. I was doing whatever the fuck it took, right?
Right.
So at that point, I was like, I was always around people. I'm a very social guy. But at the same time, like, when the pandemic hit, it really let me just, like, focus on myself, you know, like what I want to do with my life, the kind of person I want to be, the things I want to learn, if I want to read, if I want to work out, if I want to go on a trip, if I want to leave Toronto for 4 months, I can go do it, right? So, and I think to be able to do that consistently, I had to be single, right? He's in a different situation, right? But he's still in a comfortable situation where he can do what he needs to do with an understanding with his girlfriend,
yeah,
right?
She gets it.
And she gets it, right? So I just don't have that. So for me, it's better that I'm just single.
Right?
Because like I've learned in the past that sometimes if you get distracted or, you know, you give your energy to different things that aren't part of your goal, it could throw you off track and you can end up being somewhere where you regret.
Right.
You know, so I kind of learned that pretty early, I think. And then I've just been single since.
And your chick doesn't talk about marriage, huh?
Yeah, I mean, bro,
how old are you? How old
it would be? I'm 26, so okay. It would be like, yeah. I'd be lying if she's never said anything like that. But I think here's the thing: I made like pretty bold promises from the beginning, and I said very bold things of like places I would go and things that I could accomplish. But I've almost kept those promises, and I've proved that I'm going in that direction. And I think that's been the biggest thing, where it's like in moments where, yeah, it's tough that I leave to Miami for 4 months and I'm doing this and we're doing that and we're going over there and I'm around these people and I'm around those people and I'm around hot girls and whatever. At the end of the day, it's like when we first met or whatever, and or early on in the relationship, when I said like, I'm going to be successful, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I actually did what I said I was going to do.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So it's always been a thing of like, well, like he's not lying. Like everything he's saying he's going to do and the reasons why he needs to be on his own and have his own time and be with Ernesto 24/7 more than he's with me is because this is the dreams he's trying to achieve and the goals he's trying to achieve. But then she's seeing it actually come to fruition. So it's not like I'm just making up this bullshit. Oh, me and Ernesto, bro, we got to go to fucking Miami. We're buying, you know, we're going to go look at a house and maybe just work. But it's like, then we bought the house. Then this whole Nelk thing has happened. The views are up. The business is doing better than it's ever doing. It's ever done. So it's like, everything I'm saying I'm going to do, I'm doing. So if you're anybody, if you're my girlfriend, if you're my mom, my sister, my dad, when I'm saying these things that they may think are crazy, at the end of the day, I produce.
Right, of course.
So you know what I mean? So then there becomes a point where it's like, yeah, maybe if I think he, you know, he says he needs to go to Bali for 6 months and I'm speaking as my mom, my dad, whatever. And I think that's crazy. But then he goes to Bali and then he's over there and he's producing and his life is only getting better and better and he's doing the things he says he's going to do. The next time around, when he says he needs to go to Brazil for 5 months, I'm going to be like, yeah, I understand why.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I've always tried to stay consistent in when I said I'm going to do something, I do it. Right. And I think that's helped all of my relationships, my friends, my girl, my family. You just, when you, you know, keep your promises. When you say you're going to do something, do it.
That's awesome, man. What other questions you have for me?
Where'd you get that fucking outfit?
Yeah, boom.
Big shout out to my man, Austin Duvall. It's called Duvin, D-U-V-I-N.
That's crazy. I'm going to have to cop one of those. That's great. You got to hook me. I'm going to hit him up.
Yeah.
I'll cop some shit.
I'm going to hit him up. He just, he's blown up recently. He's in Orlando.
Dope.
We got to do something. You know what we got to do? We got to go up there.
Let's go.
We bring up our shooter over here.
100%.
And we go up there to, you see his whole thing. It's sick. I like the combos.
Nah, that's so
because
sick.
Because it switches it up, yeah, you know?
Nah, but even when we walked in here, the girl at the front, she's like, yeah. Yo, I like your fucking outfit.
Yeah, it shows courage, you know? It shows,
it's a conversation starter.
It's a conversation starter.
Right? But you're saying you couldn't pull some shit off? You could pull off anything, I think.
I don't know what you guys are pulling off, bro. Listen, I can't pull off a shirt with a, what is it, a samurai with a with a tiger there in a bong? What is
fucking
that?
Fucking tiger smoking some fucking, I don't even know what.
See, I can't pull that off. A mustache, I would look like a moron.
You got to just try it, bro. You just got to go for it.
I know, man. I go.
But you're a stud anyways.
Bro. No, I don't know about that.
What's the goal with your, like, where do you see your podcast going? Like, what's the goal with it?
I think.
Do you just enjoy doing it? So it's like, just keep going. And if you're liking it.
I love this. Like, like this today to me. Is like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited to come talk to you guys. Like, if I'm talking, like when I had George Lopez on.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Which is crazy, right?
Icon.
And it's crazy. And just like that. And I feel that the man upstairs is going to give me this thing to where I can just, dude, this place is awesome. But imagine if I had this thing, which you guys could smoke, whatever you guys want to smoke. Yeah. If I want to smoke a cigar, whatever.
Yeah.
And we have the water in the background.
Yeah.
And we have AC, because it's a little hot in here. We put a little AC going. You know what I'm saying? And it's just that's, and we want to spend 3 hours. Yeah. We spend 3 hours. That's why the Rogan format and what he's done is huge. And that's why the comedic community, it's so interesting how they've supported each other.
Yeah.
But I don't think too many people in our space, we don't do that.
Yeah.
Because I think instinctually they like competitiveness. Each other.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these guys just got milk. Fuck these guys. Yeah. And I would, instead of embracing these guys, dude, you need anything? I know Miami. What do you think? You need a car? Do you need this? Do you need that? Are you heartbroken? Can I talk? Dude,
yeah.
That's the difference. And
the
I think the comedians
coach.
Have
the fucking coach, bro.
The coach, bro. But I think the comedians, and that's what I've imitated from the comedians.
Yeah.
Is that?
Is that support?
That support system, bro. And there's no hating allowed. And we'll immediately get you out of the group.
Yeah,
because of that.
Is Joe Rogan your favorite pod? Favorite podcast? Like
I like
watch?
I like him a lot. I oddly enough have had, bro, like 12 people that have been on the show. Have been on my show. I was just on. I just had on Patrick Bet-David. I don't know who he is.
Matt, bro, massive. He showed me that right away, and I was like, dude,
which is what that does.
And I love his show.
Which he's the best.
Yeah,
you know. But
I mean, like, you're taking all these, you're taking different things from each guest. I mean, that's how we do things too. Like, when we sit down with a guest, we'll learn something every time.
Absolutely. It's an experience.
And like, look who the fuck you're sitting down with.
Yeah. but it's an experience, you know? But in life wise and in happiness, I only know what I know. And I know the failures that I've done and the mistakes that I've made.
Yeah.
And where I messed up or I didn't. So that's where I can bring value to you guys.
100%, which is like the biggest kind
without
of
without asking for anything in return, because expectations, right? And it's funny because I did this in Patrick's show a little bit. I don't know if you guys have done this yet, where you manipulate the conversation to where you're almost showcasing yourself, but it's an interview.
Yeah.
But I'm letting you know what's up. It's almost like if you got a hot chick, and you're single, and you want to let her know you're single, and you're like, yeah, you know, I wore this outfit because as a single dude, you just want to just.
Yeah. I like that.
You know
actually.
What I mean? And
of course.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you have that.
Well, look at like the story that you told us just to finally sit, like, and you didn't even have the expectation of sitting down with Gary Vee, but look at the story behind you just finally sitting down with Gary, like that whole thing, right? So when people see it, they're like, look at this guy's guest. Like, I mean, I seen it, and I'm just like, yo, how's this guy getting these guests? And you think it's like just. Oh, I'm emailing this guy. Hey, Gary, would you like to come on my podcast? And meanwhile,
they got so many people. But if you would see the amount of people that Gary knows, you sit there and go, oh my god,
that is fucking legendary.
Do you think you try to use each guest to get another one? Like, is that how you do it?
I haven't done that yet.
No, but you're completely right, bro.
I just want to say,
I think your main message is like to stay humble as well. Like, just to stay grounded. throughout the whole thing.
No, and I just want to say before we end this, like, bro, thank you. First of all, thank you for having us.
And I go, they're going to need friends. Like, they're going to need true guys that ain't going to say, bro, do me a favor, bro, give me Kyle's number so he can come on the show. Come on, come on. Because that's coming a lot.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. Like, you have no idea how much that's coming.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are not going to be able to walk in a place. So I go, I got to talk to these guys, and I got to get them before they blow up too much that they won't listen to me.
Now I'm always listening to the coach now.
But you know what I'm saying?
Thank God I came here, bro.
But coach HP, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
Straight up, bro, we appreciate that. And in terms of like making like, you know, what you said, we're persistent as fuck too. When we want something, we go get it, right? So we can see that in other people. And I think he saw that you were like-minded too. And then, bro, I posted that story this morning. You DM'd me back right away. We had a little thing going. I'm like, I'm fucking pumped. Let's go, right?
It was good. And then the second thing I wanted to say was, before we end this, was, man, thank you for doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough people with your experiences in life who are putting out this type of positive message, bro. Like, it's we're obviously in a world, and whether it's real or not, right now on social media, there's just so much hate, you know, and so much negativity and jealousy and envy and all that. And so, like, you know, kudos to you for doing what you're doing, bro, because it's going to take you far. You know what I mean? And like you said, later in life, you know, 40, whatever, that doesn't matter. Like, you continue on this path. I'm excited to sit back down with you in 3 months, 6 months, a year, and like just sit and be like, damn, back when you were wearing the fucking umbrella suit, were here. And you know, a year later, you're like, bro, you've done all this, right? And I know that's going to come for you. And we love, like you said, we love to be around people like that and grow these types of relationships. So, man, keep doing what you're doing because you're going to change the world, whether you know it or not, in a big way. And I think, man, there's so much.
Yeah, you already changed my perspective today, too, on a lot of things. So I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, and I just think there's so much more for you, bro.
We're there.
It's just the energy, bro. If you can get that energy out to as many, like using social and using your content, bro, like, fuck, no, man. People will find so many things to relate to you with, you know?
Yeah.
Because everyone goes through shit.
No, and you're watching and you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I watched this guy and there's no empathy for a dude that shaved his mustache that it used to be his shit and people, but I know that.
Yeah.
Right? I know that.
Yeah.
Before I let you guys go, any questions for me, anything I can help you with?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm gonna take you up on that. I'll probably hit you up sometime later today.
Yeah.
Ask you some questions. No, but honestly, you've done more than enough. Straight up.
Honestly, thank you, bro.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it for real.
Next time, you got to let me know I'll wear the shades, too, so I wear...
All three of us, we got to rock the look.
Yeah.
Money buys happiness. Tell them where to find you, all the stuff. Go for it.
All right, guys. If you made it this far, first of all, like the video, subscribe, comment. Let them know what you think. He's going to hit you back in the comments, not like us, but he will hit you back. And also, follow him on Instagram. Coach HP.
You're selling this merch or what?
Dude, it's limited edition.
Yo,
but
this is sick.
I'm going to bring it back. But you know what I'm going to do? I just realized right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to clip this. And at the end of all my videos, I'm going to use my part. And then you do it again and we'll put it for your part.
Okay.
I'm so done. Say that all again. All
right. Bring it back. 3, 2, 1.
Go.
If you've made it this far, first of all, thank you so much. Like the video. Subscribe if you're not already subscribed. Comment because Coach HP is going to get to the fucking comments. He's going to take care of you. Okay, DM him. He answers all his DMs. The guy is on it. But again, if you made it this far, thank you so much. We love you. We are out.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.